Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. My guest today is Andrew Cook. He is the editor of Family Tree Magazine. And if you know anything, then you know that I've been with Family Tree Magazine for a very long time, pretty much since the beginning, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Maureen. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So today, let's talk about your background. I know you were a book editor at one point at Family Tree. There's been some up and downs in the business, but the magazine is thriving as far as I know, and I'm still writing for it. Happy to do it.
Yeah, we've really been thrilled with how the magazine has continued to prosper, even at a time when a lot of print magazines are having trouble. We've been lucky to be supported by readers and great contributors like yourself, you know, all throughout. So I actually started with Family Tree right out of college. I was an intern in the summer between a couple of my years in undergrad. And I was, you know, proofing articles and working on stuff on the website, kind of getting my feet wet in different parts of the brand. And then when I graduated, the publisher approached me and said, hey, we had this position open up in our books division. So she was nice enough to extend that offer to me so I could keep working with Family Tree. And over the next few years, I worked on more than a dozen genealogy how-to titles that gave me a really good kind of crash course in genealogy. I'd always been interested in history and in my own family's history, but that really exposed me more to the more professional how-to side of it and gave me a really good base of knowledge. So a couple of years later, when the editor of the magazine position opened up, I got the nod for that. And we've been rocking and rolling ever since.
Yeah, it's a great magazine. It's one of my favorite magazines. And it's one of the only magazines for family history that's published here in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as I said, like a certain insurance company, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. We've been around. January 2000 was our cover date. And, you know, anyone who's been in genealogy that long knows that things look a lot different today than they did back then. Look at the early issues of the magazine and it's a little bit like, wow, this internet thing is cool, huh? And, you know, it's
DNA.
Yeah.
Like, and DNA. Look at this new tool. And right. Now it's completely different. So can you put that into perspective for us? Like what the early magazine versus what you focus on in the magazine today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, I think, had always been pretty cognizant of the different resources that are available online. Our magazine launched in 2000 with a website, which I think was not a given at that time. I know it seems kind of obvious today, but you know, we were always, it was very important to us to cover tech resources like new websites that are coming online or as record collections at some of these big genealogy websites have exploded. Ancestry is obviously one of the big names, and it's been interesting to see their sort of trajectory. And the 2000-ish era, I think, is when they transitioned from more of a traditional publisher, books and magazines, into the what we know them as today, an online record repository. So, you know, we've tried to meet readers where they are and highlight the best resources that are going to be able to help them, regardless of their experience level or what area of research they're really struggling with. And we're not owned by any of the genealogy companies, so we can be independent. We can be objective about what we cover, what different services do well, which are worth your money, which are not, because, you know, we know people are on a budget. So
I've got a funny story for you.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yes. So I tell this sometimes, but in the early years of the magazine, when the website launched, you know, everybody was worried about the amount of space you would take up online. And so we had the photo detective column online. That's, I think it was weekly at that point. And it didn't matter if it were, and there was a launch date and there was no pre-publication. So if it were Christmas morning, that I had to sit at my computer and put that in there to edit, to launch it on Christmas morning. I've been on vacations looking for Wi-Fi. Like there must be an internet connection somewhere in this place so I can put my column up online. But I was also limited, severely limited by word count, because we're really worried about like space. How much would that cost the company to do this? So it was kind of funny, the old days.
Yeah. And you know, how things change too, where a lot of times now you're sort of wanting more words.
more words, right.
Because, you know, Google likes to index articles that are longer. So yeah, it's funny how based on the technology and the sort of best practices, how they change from, you know, year to year over time.
Yeah. And I know the magazine has always had features articles, but you've also had special column and columnists. Like, I know you have Lisa's picks for Lisa Louise Cook, and you have my photo detective one a few times a year. What other special columns do you run that people might be interested in?
Well, we were talking about DNA earlier, and for several years now, we've had a DNA Q&A column, which is Diane Southard, who runs a business called Your DNA Guide. She will answer a common question about DNA testing and how it works. So, you know, recently we've covered endogamy. What is it? How do I get around it? And she'll kind of give you she'll explain it in a really approachable way, which I think is helpful for a topic like that. We also have a column called Source Spotlight, where we do a deep dive into a different kind of genealogy record. So each issue of the magazine covers a different sort of category of records. We've done birth records, marriage, death, census, land. You know, it is a great opportunity to explain why these records were created, what you can find in them, and how to access them online, but also offline if necessary. Another one that comes to mind is our Now What column, another very long-running staple in the magazine, really, where one of our contributing editors answers readers' questions about a brick wall they're having. So that really allows us to get in the weeds, very specific kind of, you know, I have an ancestor who lived in this state at this time. I can't find them. What do I do? And it's the kind of topics that we probably wouldn't write a feature length article about because it is so specific, but it's a great way of showcasing what some different resources are and how you can think about your research difficulties in a new way.
So is there one email address that people can use to submit either Now What brick walls or photo detective related photos or
It's familytree@yankeepub.com. That's familytree at yankeepub.com, and the key end of that is the name of our parent company, Yankee Publications. So it's and you know, we also are always open to hearing readers' thoughts too. They can send in their brick walls for Now What, their photos for Photo Detective, or, you know, just any feedback or requests for articles that they would like written. We're always open to hearing from our readers.
Well, yeah, you're still publishing new articles. I mean, this is new content.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we keep our ears out to hear about new tools and new research strategies, but we're, you know, one of the great things about going to conferences, for example, is that we get to meet our readers in person and hear the kinds of questions they're asking. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, I love this column. Don't ever lose this column, you know, or they'll share how one of our articles helped them out. So that's always really great to hear that that people are finding our articles useful.
So you are open to reader feedback. Mm-hmm. You're interested in, this is your magazine. So submit things to it to write an article, to help us write articles. But also the ideas that people are out there, you know, the people that are doing their genealogy are coming up with ideas like, I really wish there were an article on this particular topic, or I'm really struggling with this, or here's a brand new resource I didn't know about and you haven't featured it in the magazine.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And there's still an online component for the magazine.
Yeah, we have a website where we publish web exclusives. So not just articles that appeared in the magazine, but also articles that are new to the website. We're always looking to expand that sort of library as well. We offer a subscription just to the website that gives you unlimited access to those articles, which I think people will find helpful. For example, we have research guides. I know you've written one, Maureen, that go do a deep dive into a particular U.S. state. So how to research your ancestors in Rhode Island, Ohio, California. And those all live on the website. They're in the magazine in a nice kind of printed, easy to save format, and we cycle through them. But if you are jumping into the magazine subscription at some point, or you just picked up an issue off of the newsstand, you can find all the ones that we published online too.
And one of the things I really like, and I've written for this several times, you have come to me and asked me to write little short articles for the newsletter. Mm-hmm. And you have several different newsletters. And, you know, we're all guarding our inboxes because they're inundated with newsletters. But I have some that I keep and I read. And one of the ones I read is the one from Family Tree Magazine. Tell us about the newsletters.
Yep. So we have a few different options for our editorial, we call them our editorial newsletters. So articles from our website that have been curated by our editorial staff that come straight to your inbox, and it's totally free. So we have daily and weekly options. The one that you're referring to is our Genealogy Insider newsletter that comes out once a week on Thursdays. And we regularly invite some of our contributors and experts in the field, other guest authors to come in and write about their area of expertise. So it's a great way of getting some other voices in our newsletter and sharing more resources and expert advice, which is what we're all about.
Yeah, no, it's a great little newsletter. But Family Tree Magazine is about more than the magazine as well. I mean, we have the newsletters. You have a podcast with Lisa Louise Cook. You also, I get newsletters saying that you're having special classes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have Family Tree University, which is our online education platform. So we do webinars. We do online courses that are a mix of text and images and video instruction. Really great crash courses in the different areas. So, you know, we have classes on how to use ancestry.com, getting more out of your membership there. We have classes on how to make family photo books, which I'm sure your audience will be interested in. And we also will do courses on specific places, specific countries. So how to research your Scottish ancestors, your German ancestors, making it a really good way of doing sort of a intensive study. And it's all self-paced too, which is helpful. So, you know, you're not having to show up or log on at any particular time. It's within the length of the course. You can log in, read the materials, and you'll also have access to our instructor who can answer questions and give feedback on your progress that you're making.
Yeah. And these instructors are leading genealogists.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we're so lucky to have that. And we've been doing, I know online education is kind of everywhere now, but we started this program back in 2010. So it's been around. We've been around for a while, and you know, we're really excited to offer all that how-to information in a different way.
Yeah, Family Tree Magazine's been with us for a long time, as you mentioned. The first issue was 2000, mm-hmm. And you've seen the industry change in amazing ways. And you know, the editors, yourself, and the ones before you, really work to keep up with the changes in the field, of which there continue to be more. Believe it or not, I have seen people, there's a Facebook group on ChatGPT and AI, and people are trying to use that to actually come up with some sort of realistic image of their ancestor based on descriptions and documents.
Yeah.
So I mean, the field is ever changing, but at the same time, the topics that you cover are evergreen in the industry. So that's what the sort of publishing term, something that never goes out of style. You are always going to need a guide to how to do research in a particular area or understand DNA or, well, I don't know. Let's see what AI does with DNA. Yeah. Diane's the one to talk about that, but I'm sure there's changes coming. As far as, you know, some magazines have a lot of issues online, you know, the past issues. Can you address sort of what's online and what's not online? Like what's behind the paywall and what might not be behind the paywall for people that are interested in checking out the website?
Yeah. So our website has a mix of free and we call them premium articles. So articles that you'll need that online membership to access. Every visitor to our site, including free visitors, get access to three premium articles for free each month. And the newsletters that we were talking about earlier, they'll have at least two free articles that we've made temporarily free. So we try to allow people to give We try to allow people to see some of our articles before they, you know, hit that paywall. It's in the industry, I guess they call it a soft paywall or a metered paywall where, you know, you get so many free articles. So we try to keep our more beginner content free. So that way it's available for sort of the people who might be new to starting the family tree, and the articles that are a little more in depth or more comprehensive, those might be the ones that end up behind the paywall. In terms of past issues, we offer a back library of the magazine. So you can get Family Tree Magazine at your local retailer. You can get it in the mail. We have digital copies available too, that we have an app that you can subscribe to. So you can read the magazine on your tablet or on your smartphone. I think there's also a way to view it on a desktop if you prefer to do it that way. And then we also have, it's called our website VIP plus digital subscription, where you get the online membership to the website, which includes all those premium articles, and this issue library that goes, I think it's back to 2005 right now. So that's updated every 2 months with a new issue of the magazine. So it's a way of subscribing not just to the new magazine as it comes out, but also to our back issues, which can be helpful too. Like you said, we try to make our advice evergreen. So obviously, as you get into some of those older issues, some of the links might not work, or you know, we might have covered a service that isn't available anymore, but you'll also find some gems too. Every so often I'll crawl through our archive to see how we've covered something in the past. And I'm amazed sometimes by, oh, wow, this still holds up. Like, you just tweak this, you know, fix a link here. And this article is like, could have been written yesterday.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Keeping up with those changing links is a bit of a game. What about you and your genealogy, Andrew?
Yeah, I don't, like a lot of people, I don't have as much time to research my own ancestors as I'd like. And in this job, it can be a really tricky thing because, you know, a couple issues ago, we had a cover story on the different newspaper websites and how they stack up against each other. And I was fact checking that article, you know, working through the text and proofreading, and it became such a rabbit hole because it's like, all right, well, let me just try this search function to make sure it works as described. Oh, hey, that's interesting. I didn't know that my ancestor, the one that comes to mind is my great grandfather, won an award. I found this in a newspaper that I was researching. He won an award for Family of the Year. And so that sort of gets me on a dovetail of, well, oh, wow, it was mentioned in all these other publications and, oh, great, it had all these names in it. So I think like a lot of our readers, yeah, it can be really addicting to get into something like that. And you have to be like, okay, I need to be done searching right now. I have work to do.
Right. And I'm sure people are like, well, Andrew, you must know it all because you edit the magazine and you read all these articles, but genealogy is a lifelong pursuit.
Yeah. And it's something too, that's highly specific to the circumstances in which your family lived. So I don't claim to be an expert for sure, but even if I were to say like, oh, I've got all this great information about how to research, you know, my family. My mom's side is all from the Cincinnati region, 5 or 6 generations back. So I have a pretty good familiarity with Cincinnati area records and the different, you know, historical forces that have affected that. But, you know, if I were researching ancestors in New York or Boston or Appalachia, I would be clueless. You know, like it's a different set of rules, you know, like they're the different kinds of records that are available and the, you know, social context, historical context. And that's totally why it's helpful to tap into these experts, you know, those research, the U.S. state research guides that I mentioned, we try to find people who have specific expertise in that state. Like that's what they do, is they research people from that place because they're the ones who know when did vital records start? Were there any major record losses? Was there a time where county boundaries totally got flipped upside down, or, you know, when did this place become a territory and then a state? That kind of localized knowledge that only somebody who's really done research in that area would know.
But you don't just cover the United States. I mean, it's worldwide genealogy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're trying to increase our focus on Canada, for example, in the UK, because, you know, we have readers from those countries. I say that, you know, we're a US-based publication. So a lot of our articles are written from the perspective of people living in the US today who are researching ancestors who came from elsewhere. But yeah, we do try to broaden our coverage a little bit. And some stuff too, you know, isn't, I know I just said all this about how place specific research can be, but a lot of what we cover is also sort of non-denominational, can apply anywhere. We cover how to organize your genealogy, how to write compelling family stories. The different genealogy websites, a lot of them have a pretty broad focus. Some of them, you know, are specific to place or time, but, you know, a tutorial for FamilySearch, for example, doesn't matter if you're researching ancestors, yeah, in the United States or in Africa or in India, wherever, you know, it's.
Yeah. I mean, with all the online content that there is out there and online courses and things like that, there's still a place for a magazine like Family Tree Magazine. And then if anyone wants to submit a photo, a mystery photo to the Photo Detective, I do write a column for the magazine and it can be worldwide. We have photos come from all over the place.
If you are interested in the print subscription of the magazine, we offer a special deal if you subscribe through the website. So there's a big green subscribe now button on the website. You click that and you'll get a new subscriber price of $27 per year plus tax. But that's a good option, especially since the magazine's cover price is $8.99 an issue. So that $27 gets you 6 issues of the magazine delivered right to your home. It's a great deal. And you can kind of see what we're all about. You know, the print magazine sort of talks about all the different areas of the business too. So you can learn about upcoming courses and our newsletter and all that we do.
Well, I've enjoyed working with the magazine for all these years.
Yeah, we're lucky to have you too, Maureen. Like I always look forward to your column. It's always so interesting. And I know how much people love family photos, and it brings a lot of personality too to the magazine, where I think maybe there's an impression that genealogy is sort of dry and dusty. But when you see those faces of people, like, this is my great-great-grandfather and his family, and you learn about their stories, like, that's what I think people really, really respond to.
Yeah. So I love thank you.
Family photos when we can.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me on the Photo Detective, Andrew.
Thank you, Maureen.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review. And if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.